This is the Inch Podcast, a production of InsideCollegeHockey.com. Now, let's send it to our podcast host, Joe Vedashevsky.
Hello, this is the Inch Podcast, our special annual edition after a one-year hiatus of the Inch Wishlist Podcast. The Inch Wishlist Draft has been going on since the 2004 tournament. It's a little bit of a unique concept. Those of you who are not familiar with it, we'll explain it briefly. But first, we want to bring in our participants, and we'll start with Inch editor Mike Eidelbus. Hi, boss.
Hello, all. This is my favorite part of the year, this draft.
This draft?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's a good time. And a co-creator of this, or maybe creator, Inch founder and current acting interim president of College Hockey Inc., Nate Ewell. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Gladdy. This could be my favorite thing about the tournament. It's the favorite thing to talk about, at least, about
yeah.
the tournament.
Yes.
As James Yonke said back in the day, this is the inchiest thing that Inch does. And here's what it comes down to, basically. You're going to have to use a little imagination. We've got 16 teams in the NCAA tournament. And we're thinking, sitting around chattering, saying, what would make these teams better? So let's have a little hypothetical and give them a draft. We're going to have two rounds of the draft. We'll start with the 16th overall seed, I guess, which have the first pick, which is Air Force, and work our way down all the way until we get to Boston College, who will have the 16th pick of the first round, and then we'll do another round. And the theory and the concept is you look at Air Force, you say, okay, what would this team like to have? And then you can pick from anybody in the country who's not already in the tournament. You know, so they couldn't take a guy like Johnny Gaudreau from BC because he's already playing, but they could take a guy like, well, we won't spoil it because they'll be picking here momentarily. We're going to rotate right through the picks. We'll start with Nate. We'll have Air Force, and then the three of us will alternate as the picks come up. We'll give a little explanation. We'll have a little discussion. And not only is it a way to hypothetically make the tournament teams better, but also a way to recognize some of the great players whose seasons hadn't continued up to this point. So anything else there, guys?
I think you covered it.
Great. Without further ado, we'll start with Air Force, and we will have Nate make the selection for the Falcons.
I think, first overall in the wish list draft, you just take the best guy that there is. That being said, I'm going to make a little bit of a cop-out here in trying to declare the best guy that's out there, because I think you could make a case for Justin Schultz. You could make a case for Austin Smith. The strength of Air Force is on the blue line, so let's cross Justin Schultz off and take the leading goal scorer in the country, Austin Smith.
Okay, Austin Smith of Colgate goes to Air Force.
That made sense to me, too. I mean, obviously, I was thinking they need somebody dynamic up front, and I think Smith's been the best player in the country this year, but I didn't know if that maybe would Air Force would lean toward Jaden Schwartz, who probably is the most talented guy.
I thought a little bit about more of a kind of creative player, but I just think you can't ignore what Smith has done.
Goals are goals.
Goals are goals.
Part of I heard that before. Matt Molson. All right, next up will be Michigan State. And again, a team to me that could use a little firepower up front. Some of their guys are inconsistent up there. Some of the better offensive talents are younger players, so you need a veteran guy. And a team that hasn't been in the tournament too much lately, especially this roster of guys. And one thing we do want to say, Schwartz was mentioned, of course, for Colorado College. Guys who have signed pro contracts already we're still counting them as college players if they had finished the season with their teams. So that's one of the hypotheticals that we also put into play here. I guess I bring that up because this guy was recently signed a contract as a senior, and to see what he did down the stretch for a team that was quite a surprise is Alex Killorn of Harvard. He's got a great physical presence. He has that knack for the big moment. He's a guy who really carried Harvard when they needed it. He scored goals in big games, beanpot games, overtime goal against Yale, which is a huge rival. Had a big series against Yale in the quarterfinals. That series went three games and got his team down to Atlantic City. And then, had two goals the semifinal game there against Cornell, another rival. So Killorn does a lot. I mean, he can make his own shots. He can set up guys. He can win battles. Has that a little bit of that flair, like, maybe you'd look at like a Ryan Callahan from the Rangers. He's always there making that play. And
he was way better for Harvard than Ryan Callahan is for the Rangers.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
like, this was a guy that when I saw him in person a lot this year because I just liked watching that team, but mostly because I liked watching him.
Yeah.
And I came away from watching him thinking this guy should be getting more Hobie buzz and things like that. And maybe that comes with, not tying 11 games.
Yeah, 10 wins, 10 losses, 10 ties.
Yeah. But I think that's a great pick just because he is so dynamic. He's such a presence.
Yeah. And it's a big game. He's a big game player. And familiarity against Union. First round matchup. So there you go. Alex Killorn of Harvard to Michigan State. We'll move on to Western Michigan with the next pick, and that will be by bus. Following that, we'll have Cornell and UMass Lowell. But for the Broncos, bus, what are you looking at?
Well, would you believe that Western Michigan is the lowest scoring team in this year's tournament field? They're 31st in the country in scoring offense at 2.83 goals per game, which is kind of interesting because scoring goals really hasn't been a problem for them. I mean, it has, obviously. They're in the middle of the pack in the country, but they've got four guys that have 10 or more goals. So obviously they've got some guys who have a knack for putting the puck in the net. So it seems clear to me. Let's get them a setup man, a creator, a guy who can get them the puck in the right spots. And to me, the best guy at doing that is Jaden Schwartz from Colorado College.
Yeah,
plus Andy Murray probably has to know him a little bit from the St. Louis days.
Could be.
There you go.
So we'll take Schwartz.
I think he was picked after the Andy Murray era.
Yeah, he might have been. It was close.
Well, when you've got that kind of talent, you can't pass it up. Another guy who, like the first two, makes plays, creates opportunities for himself and others. Obviously, very good pick there. Probably a guy that Cornell would have liked, Nate.
Yeah, I think kind of that dynamic playmaker is what you'd look for here for the Big Red. And Schwartz would certainly fit that bill. I think there's a few other guys out there up front that could fit that bill, but I can't pass up in this spot Justin Schultz. I know, and Gladys, you could probably speak to this, they probably don't need help on the blue line like a couple of these teams we've passed already. But Schultz can create so much. If you're looking for a guy to create offense, Justin Schultz can do it.
Yeah. They've got a couple guys who kind of fit that mold in Nick D'Agostino, freshman Joakim Ryan, even Sean Whitney a little bit on power play. But none of those guys are really true goal-scoring threats. And Schultz, to me, makes a little bit of a difference there with 16 goals from the blue line. So, yeah, I think that's a good fit. just makes everyone better. And the thing that, to me, that Cornell could, you know, if it maybe one thing that he could really help with is getting that puck out of the zone. You know, even starting the forwards up ice is a big thing, and getting the puck from the defensive zone into the neutral zone and obviously over the blue line. So yeah, that pick does make some sense for Cornell, certainly. Justin Schultz to the Big Red. And that brings us to UMass Lowell. And Bus, it's a team, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying, I guess this is my pick, but I wanted to go back to a point you made about Western Michigan, where it seems like they have enough scoring, and there they are, 31st in the country. You know, just off the top of your head, you're like, man, Lowell, I could probably use a little more punch up front. And there they are, 8th in the country with 3 1/3 goals a game. So they have that element to them, but at the same time, I'm not sure they have that one big gun. And the other thing that they lack is tournament experience, obviously. Mm-hmm. A long time since they've been there. So that brings a couple guys to mind, you know, and the balance in their scoring is really remarkable. 7 guys with 10 or more goals, which is really astounding to me. But nobody with more than 17. That's a sophomore, Derek Arnold. But when I look at NCAA tournament experience and a little more heft up front, I'm thinking Brian O'Neill from Yale. Here's a guy who's been in the tournament the last 3 years, not this year. Big time goal scorer, you know, was on all the watch lists at the beginning of the season for the Hobie because of the kind of career he's had. But then at the, you know, end of the day, Yale's season doesn't really go the way that a lot of people expected, and he kind of fades out. But here's a guy with 163 career points, 70 goals, 94 assists, 69 goals actually, but he's the kind of guy I think that really helps them kind of get through this first round and against a Miami team that can certainly frustrate you from a scoring standpoint.
And there's concern about Riley Wetmore's health too, so that gives you some insurance there up front.
Yeah. So Brian O'Neill of Yale goes to the UMass Lowell Riverhawks. And our next picks, Bus, you'll be next, will be Denver, Maine, and Boston University. Denver Pioneers, Bus.
Interesting situation. You know, mainly because you don't know who's going to be in the lineup for them from one day to the next. You know, is Zucker out? Is Bo Bennett coming back? Is, you know, which goalie is going to play? And to me, I think I really like Denver's chances in the Midwest Regional. I think they match up well with the rest of those teams there. And I think one thing we mentioned in the Sunday podcast after the field was announced was that if all four teams in that regional play up to their ability, I think Denver is the one that wins that region. That said, the goalie situation, although all three have played well at times, I think it may be a cause for a concern. You know, Sam Britton came back late in the year. The freshman, Okanora, played well at times. Murray played well when he had to. But none of those three really reached out and seized that role as being the go-to guy in goal. So I think with that being said, I'd like to see, you know, I feel better about Denver's chances if they had a little bit of a veteran presence there in goal, a guy you can rely on night in and night out, a veteran guy who's seen everything and done everything and, you know, been to a Frozen or been to the NCAA tournament as well. And that guy for me is Joe Canada from Merrimack.
I absolutely would have made the same choice when I look at Denver, for all the reasons you mentioned.
You know, I kind of feel about goalies the way some people feel about quarterbacks, is if you have two, then you don't have any.
Right. And something else we talked about during the season when we were looking at, you know, which teams, you're trying to put it all together back in January and February, and I don't know if we did or anybody was able to, but we're trying to figure out which teams had a sustainable formula. Who's got the right mix to make things happen here? And when we talked about goaltending, and especially recent NCAA tournament history, going back to Brian Elliott, maybe was the last one to just be that clear-cut, awesome, number one, All-America-type goalie to win a national championship. So, you know, give me consistency and poise and not the erratic two shutouts in three games, and then I'm yanked after six goals in 35 minutes. So, Kanata is definitely that guy and can be solid. So, I agree with that pick a lot. That brings us to Maine and Nate.
Maine's an interesting one for this draft because if you look at the numbers, and they could use help defensively. They're 31st in the country in defense, team defense. Their PK is in the almost in the bottom 10. But that said, they have lately been getting it done. I mean, Dan Sullivan's solidified their goaltending. They've got enough guys that work hard enough back there that their defense can get the job done. And to me, watching that hockey's championship game, I kept thinking, I wonder how they'd do if they had Spencer Abbott.
And right.
When he's hurt and you can't replace a guy like that, that changes an awful lot. When you're talking about a team that's essentially been a one-line team that didn't have its one line complete. So given that you may not have him back, I'd lean rather than defense to try and take somebody that can kind of not replace him completely, but at least fill those skates. And I was looking at Mark Zangerle from Wisconsin as kind of a younger version of Spencer Abbott for Maine.
Yeah.
And if you get Abbott back, then you've got all of a sudden a second line with Zangerle and Matt Mangine, and that's a pretty dangerous one.
Yeah, I think that's a good fit there. And to me, my biggest concern or red flags go up when I watch Maine is there's nothing after that first line. I think you can make a case that top line's the best in the country. Very strong case. But to me, there's not much there. You know, you kind of sit on the edge of your seat for the 45 to 50 second shift that Abbott, Flynn, and Diamond are out there, and then it's kind of, okay, let's sit back for a little bit until they come back out.
Yeah, and I was surprised seeing those defensive numbers, honestly. I mean, from watching them, I didn't get that sense that they would be ranked 31st in team defense. But there they are, and that's why we have a second round of the wishlist draft.
Yes, indeed. we've got a chance. Next up will be BU. I'll talk about them, and then we'll have Minnesota and Minnesota Duluth. So those are your teams that are on the board, on the clock, so to speak. And with BU, you've got a team here with a lot of young players. You know, Chris Conley is the only senior who's a lineup regular right now among the forwards. I like their goaltending. I like Milan, certainly. A lot of talent, a lot of draft picks on the blue line, with the likes of Clendening and Noonan, especially. But I think it could use a little more experience up front, and somebody to kind of get this team going in some of the other. Some of the other categories. So, Nate, I mean, I don't know if you you see anything from BU that I have or haven't. You've seen them a lot more than I have. What's your take on maybe an area of need or desire?
I guess I would say, and maybe this reflects the losses more than what they have, because when you look at their offense, I mean, they're the second highest scoring team in the country, but
right.
I guess a forward. I, I would lean towards that and just get him more support up front.
Yeah, I'm thinking experience and discipline at the forward position because of the youth. And when I, you know, consider these kinds of guys, you know, here's a guy who's done a lot and in his career and nice 4-year player, and I think could help out here. And I'm looking at Tyler Grahn from Northern Michigan. You know, it's maybe not the sexiest pick out there, but I think he might be a good fit with this BU team.
I like where you're going. I might have gone with Justin Florek from Northern Michigan, but I think either one of those guys is a good at.
Yeah, I'm going with Grahn.
Yeah, I agree that you can't really go wrong with either of those guys.
Yeah. So there we go. That's what I'll go with. And that brings us to the Gophers, and it brings us to Boss.
MINNESOTA. What do the Gophers need?
Rouser.
They need somebody that can hold a 3-goal lead, it appears, for starters.
Yeah, I think they need a calming influence in their life.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously forward-wise, they're pretty good there. I mean, they've got enough guys up front to spread the wealth, make things happen. I actually like their lines quite a bit. You know, they've got that fourth line that, especially early in the year, that was really good at kind of banging and hitting and cycling and making things happen when the team didn't have a lot of spark. And they'd give them that edge. Patterson obviously is fine in goal. I don't know that he's the kind of guy that can win a game for you outright, but he certainly won't lose it, that's for sure. Which leaves the defense. And, I think Minnesota has a good, not a great defense. And the one thing that they're really missing is that dynamic offensive presence on the blue line that the kind of guys they've had in the Keith Ballard, Leopold, Goligoski, Paul Martin mode. Mm-hmm. Guys who can really create things, from the blue line and keep opponents from focusing so close on those on the forwards and really concentrating on shutting those guys down. So we're looking for a defenseman who can put some points on the board and give those forwards a little more room to work. To me, the guy that would fit well with the Gophers is Danny Biega from Harvard.
Yes.
Yep. At a point a game.
Also a senior. Has played, played North Dakota twice this year. So
unfortunately, he won't get a chance to play on the big ice, but
yeah. He does a lot, and you talk about a guy who has to do a lot or had to do a lot. Harvard made great strides this year, but especially his junior year. I mean, I would have killed to see his ice time stats if those were kept or in some kind of secret vault, because I mean, he's up there with like Pronger, Bomeister type ice time, 28, 29 minutes or some nights it seemed.
He was a junior this year, correct?
Correct.
Then okay. I'm fired.
Hey, I'm just glad you should be happy you can just keep all those Biegas straight.
Yeah.
There's only been 8 of them.
Yeah, so.
Another one out there.
Yeah, it's true.
Where's he going?
We don't want anything, yeah.
I don't know.
He's got another year left.
Hopefully.
We'll see. He's a Carolina draft pick. But, to me, one of the things, just big picture, and this isn't to slight any of the guys who made the list by any account, if you were to tell me at the beginning of the year there's going to be four defensemen on the among the 10 Hobie finalists, I'm like, well, obviously Biega will be one of them then, and he's not. So that's pretty telling to me. We're up to Minnesota Duluth, then Ferris State and Miami. And Nate, looking at the Bulldogs, and one thing that kind of stuck out to us when we were putting those capsules together for our site is a really poor penalty kill.
Yeah, I think that's one area you want to improve, and certainly you don't need to improve offensively. I mean, up front, the first two lines especially, probably as good as anybody, if not better than anybody else out there. So keeping the focus on the blue line, my eyes turned to Gabe Gensel at Colorado College as a good all-around guy. I don't know how CC was on the PK offhand, but to me, you know, kind of along the lines of a Biega, not obviously not to that level, but best available all-around defenseman.
CC was 47th.
Oh. Thanks. But I'll try to do better next round.
It's still better than
how do you
it's still
the
better than
guy
Duluth.
Fixed penalty kill. Yeah. But yeah, for what they need, that's
and I think that choice makes sense too when you look at the kind of talent that they lost off the blue line last year.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Justin Falk was beyond unbelievable. I mean, you know, but guys like that don't come around too often.
No.
So Gensel, I mean, obviously he's not a Justin Falk, but he certainly can help replenish that blue line.
That's that.
And I'll give you a little offense too. What the heck?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good choice for them. Next up will be Ferris, then Miami, and then North Dakota, and then Union. So, Ferris State Bulldogs, another team kind of difficult to nail something down here. I'm thinking about a little bit of scoring punch up front. I'm thinking a little bit about tournament experience. I'm thinking a little bit about maybe some big play type things. And that Bowling Green series, you have 2 1-goal overtime losses, and then if you've got that guy who can make that play before that point, you know, you're not in overtime. This isn't a team that scored a ton of goals. Kyle Bonus and Jordy Johnston, 18 apiece. Then you've got Kersinger with 10 and a couple guys with 9. Again, I'm looking at a veteran guy. I'm looking at someone who has a well-rounded game and someone who has a knack for some big plays and has been in this thing before. And sometimes when you think about a guy like this, you wonder if how he's still in college, because it seems like he's been around forever. But I'm looking at Cameron Burt from RIT.
Interesting.
For this spot. Here's a guy with a great career, did a lot of good things for that program, and they've really been, you know, obviously right there with Air Force the last 4 years. So to me, I think he's another guy to kind of fit in there, and I just like what that brings to Ferris. I think it makes him a little better and a little deeper up front.
And he's a Michigan kid.
That's true. So Cameron Burt, RIT, goes to Ferris State University Bulldogs. And I'm not taking him back. Next up will be Miami. I guess we'll have Nate on for that.
This is Bus, right?
No, this is me.
Okay, yeah, well, Bus on for Miami. Nate, you'll get North Dakota, and then I'll be on board for Union.
Miami is when you look at kind of their statistics from the season, you know, I think the first thing you think about is Riley Smith scoring goals. That being said, this hasn't been the typical high-powered Miami offense, the kind that we've become accustomed to in years past when, you know, when they had Mealy and Camper and Jones and, you know, Marty Guerin and guys like that. You know, they're averaging just a tick under three goals a game, which is pretty low by Miami standards. You know, that's only 20th nationally. And another thing that is kind of surprising, another surprising number about Miami is their power play. You know, they're 45th in the nation in power play success rate at about 15%. So that's, you know, another atypical Miami University statistic, because they've in the past obviously been very good on the power play.
Yes.
So I'm looking for maybe somebody that can add some goals, be a nice complement, or maybe a second line forward type guy to score some goals for them, and also give them a little boost on the PP. And in my mind, the best guy, it's kind of, you could almost say that he's Riley Smith Light, is Justin Florek from Northern Michigan. He had 9 power play goals. I think he was right around, what did we say he was right around for the season? 18, 19, 17 in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a good player. I like
him. And he's a bigger, you know, bigger forward.
Yeah, 19 goals.
He wants to be a teacher for Florek.
Yeah, 19 goals. He wants to be a teacher, huh?
Yeah, classy.
Yeah, I can like that.
Stays out of the box, 18 PIMs all year.
Yeah, which is a good thing for Miami, because they're about sixth in the country in penalty minutes.
Right.
So he brings a lot of things to the table that the Redhawks need or don't need. Again, I'm trying to find his size. I want to say he goes about 6'3", off the top of my head, but I can't. He's 6'4", 204, you know, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
So we've seen Miami thrive with big forwards like that in the past. So Florek is the pick for me, and I think he solves about 2 or 3 issues for Miami.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Nate, we got North Dakota next on board. Then I'll have Union, and we'll wrap the first round with Michigan and Boston College. So Nate has North Dakota, and what are you thinking?
Well, if there was ever a team that needs a wish list draft, it's a team that can't dress a full lineup.
Yeah.
And injuries and other, mostly injuries have caused, have limited North Dakota to 11 healthy forwards, so might as well fill a role there. The guys beyond that their first line's fantastic. The guys beyond that first line have been playing well in the second half, but, you don't have real dynamic players there like you do with Christo and Nelson and Knight on the first line. So I wanted to look at one, a forward, and two, a guy who makes other players better. And to me,
I didn't know where you're going there.
You know exactly where I'm going because he's your guy. But Chris Wagner from Colgate. He obviously made Austin Smith better. And I think, you know, as good as Austin Smith is, you've got to give Chris Wagner some credit for that. And I think he'd fit right in with the North Dakotas.
Yeah, you know what I think fits with North Dakota is his attitude. He brings an edge. He's got a little snarl in his game, which I like. And in fact, it probably took away at times this year. He was a sophomore. It might have taken away a little bit from his effectiveness, because you know there were times when he took on a protective role of Smith. And you get into a chicken and egg argument. You know, it's obviously somebody's got to get assists when a guy in your line has 36 goals, or, you know, is he going to score 36 goals if a guy doesn't have a playmaker like Wagner? And Wagner's not a, you know, playmaker like, you know, who is your guy for BC there, Bus?
Goodrow?
No, a couple years back.
Ben Smith?
Yeah, just, you know, who'll make everyone else look good. You know, Wagner doesn't do it so much like that, but he makes plays. Like, he'll get in and knock a defenseman off the puck and then make a centering pass or you know, take the puck away from somebody. So he'd fit well with that North Dakota team. I think that's a great addition. And he's compatible. I think he can play with a lot of different types of players.
So, knew you'd like that one.
Yeah, I knew it was – I had him on my short list of guys to consider, but when you started talking, I kind of knew where that was going. So, I mean, there were times, honestly, and I'm not afraid to say this, you know, anytime, but now is not a bad format to mention. I wondered if Austin Smith was the best player on his line some nights because I thought Wagner was that good.
He had better numbers down the stretch.
A few times I saw him, yeah. So, has a propensity to kind of fly the zone a little early at times, which I'm not crazy about, but when that much of your scoring comes from the first line, I think it's a little more understandable. So that's a good spot there. Now we're up to Union. And this is a team obviously quite familiar with from covering ECAC hockey and seeing them down in Atlantic City, you know, they kind of had their way. Two wins, you know, even though the Harvard game was close for the first 50 minutes and, I guess the entire game, decided shot advantage from Union. You never really felt like they were, you know, backpedaling at all to me. But one thing is I kind of like for them to have a little more bite, especially, you know, their skill and their depth up front and the fact that they have the puck a lot more than the other team is really what carries them. But you know, I guess Jess used this quote in our Selection Sunday podcast, but as Mike Tyson said, you know, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And I kind of wonder how they might react to that kind of situation. And the year of experience that they got and having gone through that last year in that game against Duluth when they were, you know, pretty dominant actually for the first period, but Ryder was great, couldn't get that power play goal, then Duluth came back, popped a couple goals, and you know, Union was kind of out of it at that point. But I'd like them to have a little more nastiness, and got to see this team play in person. I've liked them. I saw them on TV as well. You know, I want some size in the blue line, and some toughness. And to me, the guy for Union would be Kyle Bigos from Merrimack.
If you want size and toughness, you got it right there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the ideally, you know, obviously with the wish list rules, you know, the guy for them would be Ben Blood. You know, I think he'd be just, you know, he'd be bring that element, and the guy who kind of does some of those things to me a little bit is Bigos, and I think that makes Union a little harder to play against. So that's where I'm going with this pick.
You can't have Ben Blood because in our complete make-believe world here, we need to have rules.
Yeah, we have to have
structure and order.
You're messing with the integrity of the game.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with. We've got Michigan and Boston College left on the board. Bus, you'll have Michigan. Nate, you'll have Boston College. And we'll kind of recap the first round and run through it again for round two. Bus, what are you thinking for the Wolverines?
Would you believe that the Wolverines have the worst power play in the NCAA tournament field?
No, I would not.
Well, you should, because they do.
Okay.
No. They rank 46th in the country, and Michigan ranks 46th in the country in power play, 15.3%. That's unheard of for Michigan.
That's not many.
No.
Not many percent.
23 power play goals on the season. So, you know, I think they've got some good balance. I think defensively, they've got nice balance as well. But let's do something to cure that power play. And I'm thinking maybe we add a forward a guy who, you know, brings way more to the table than just, you know, helping out on the power play. And he's a guy that has really caught my eye over the second half of the season, because I looked up and I was like, oh my God, where did this guy, how did this guy end up with this many goals and this many points?
Don't do it.
Under the radar, going with your Huskies and giving
up. Man, I was going to take him for my next pick.
Ben Hanowski,
yeah,
from St. Cloud State.
Great
23
call.
Goals, 7 power play goals.
Oh, man. Devastating.
I think he could cure what grit ails the...
Grit?
Yeah.
You seen the beard?
Yeah. And he's a big kid, too. 6'2". 6'2",
195. Sorry, Air Force. Apologies, Falcons. We're printing up the nameplate for the back of the sweater already. We're ready to go there. Sorry. Anyway, yeah, I think all those things you said, I couldn't agree with more, Buster.
He might be the most underappreciated player in the country. Nobody talks about him.
I think you could be right on that.
Yeah,
nobody talks about him.
Except the wish list draft.
Well, and I think another thing, too, is, you know, he came out of a high school program in Minnesota that, you know, it wasn't even one of your traditional powers, Little Falls High School. So he came basically from the smallest of the smalls and, you know, obviously a prolific scorer in high school, and the way his game has grown over the past 3 seasons at St. Cloud has really been amazing. Sorry, Gladdy.
That's all right, man. That's all right.
I don't know what his career numbers are. It's 82 points for his career, so. Good growth curve there.
Yeah. Yeah, good pick. What do you get for the person that has everything, Nate?
Never easy. Never easy. But, you know, obviously there's tournament success on this team, but last year I want to put behind him, so I thought maybe get somebody who did well last year. And maybe give a fresh start here to a guy from a team that's a little bit of a parallel to BC, and that's Notre Dame. So TJ Tynan, welcome on board. He seems to me to be kind of a BC type of player.
Yeah, he is.
Who could use a fresh start, see what happens. And I think it's amazing we got this far without taking a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I think if Anders Lee would have played a little bit better in the second half of the season. Well, first of all, Notre Dame wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. Right.
Notre Dame would be in the tournament. But, yeah, Tynan. Yeah, he would fit pretty well with that group.
All right. That will do it for round one. Well played. A lot of sensible picks there, I think. Anything you regretted, happy about? We got another round here.
There's a lot of talent still on the board.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players. I mean,
yeah.
As you said, we just took a first guy from Notre Dame. I mean, that's saying a lot right there. So, all right. We'll recap the picks. As we make them in the second round, who the teams took. So we're not going to roll through that list right now. But
and if you want to pull, if you're by your computer, you could pull it up online too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah. If you're listening at your computer, hit the inch front page, and you'll have the this will all be written out along with the link to the podcast. So
just don't scroll down right now because it would spoil the surprise.
Oh yeah, you'll ruin it for everybody, or at least yourself.
This is like Back to the Future. We're telling people in the future don't do.
Nobody.
Marty.
Nobody do anything that would disappoint the rest of us.
Yeah, don't alter the space-time continuum.
Okay, second round, first pick. We're back to Air Force. Air Force took Austin Smith with the first pick in this wishlist draft. And you know you think about these guys, and as I said moments ago, had kind of had an eye on Hanowski of St. Cloud in this position, for that depth up front. The difference, when you see these games and those 16 versus ones, whether it's a College Hockey America team from the past or an Atlantic Hockey team, where they really kind of fall behind a little bit is in that that depth and talent at forward. They'll play a disciplined game. This is huge generalizations because every team's a little different, of course. But generally, you're kind of looking for that upper level player that maybe you can't get your hands on otherwise. You're looking looking at some things here. Maybe after having said all that, this guy doesn't fit that mold exactly, but I'm really looking at someone who, I'm going to go with it. Along the lines of, what we said earlier, goals and points are points. Brett Gensler from Bentley, obviously another player out of Atlantic Hockey, at 50 points on the year, 23 goals. This is in 40 games. Big time performer as a sophomore, and go with what you know. And there's Gensler. So by putting him and Smith in that lineup, it makes Air Force a little tougher up front.
He had a hand in three of their four goals against Air Force this year.
There you go. The other thing I'm thinking here, and I'm not going to back off that pick, but maybe some depth on defense. They ask so much out of that first pair.
Yeah, you could be onto something there, but
I think your initial instinct to make them as deep as you possibly can up front is probably the best strategy.
Yeah. And if you get in that kind of game where it's 2-1, all you need is one shift and one play. And here's a guy with 23 goals. You can't turn that down at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll be Gensler from
and let the D pair play 45 minutes. They're never going to play another. They can't play another hockey game in their lives.
Yeah, you can rest all summer.
All career.
Yeah.
You got to go serve.
Yeah, that's right. go rest in the military. All right.
When you're flying that F-16, just, take a nap.
Yeah. Just make sure your tray is in an upright and locked position.
There you go.
That brings us to Michigan State. Spartans took Alex Killorn of Harvard in the first round. And, Boss, you're on the clock with Michigan State University.
Yeah, interesting pick here because, I think what I'm gonna do is try and kill two birds with one stone, and that is
a fancy move.
If you can do it, it's great. Get a veteran guy that can help this young Spartan team, and get a defenseman who can maybe take some of the pressure off of Torrey Krug, and maybe get a guy that can be a second power play point for Michigan State, and that would actually be three birds. And I think the guy that best fits that description is Bemidji State's Brad Hunt.
Oh, you son of a gun! We spend far too much time talking college hockey.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, great call. I like his game. I like his entire career.
Played in the Frozen Four.
Yeah. He's I had him on my list. I got a list here. Now he's crossed off. Had him right next to Hanowski. Good job.
Well, I'm just going in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
112 points.
Yep.
In 150 games.
Yep. So there you go. Yeah, I like that. I like that pick. That brings us to Western Michigan. Western selected Jaden Schwartz of Colorado College in the first round. And Nate is up on the Broncos.
I can sometimes go a little sentimental on these second round picks. I can sometimes, you know, try to bring somebody along to make the first round pick feel comfortable.
Okay.
And I think Rylan Schwartz would do that.
Okay.
But it also works. It works on a few other levels too. I mean, this, obviously these guys had success in a little bit of success in the tournament last year, knocking off a number one seed, and there you got. You instantly have 2/3 of a line. They play really well together.
Yep.
I like. I thought there were a lot of games where Rylan Schwartz was the better of the two,
mm-hmm.
just because he's more of a direct go to the net type of player. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the St. Louis Blues system at some point. Just to, again, comfort level for Jaden.
Yeah. Yeah, could be.
Plus, they'd have the scouting report for North Dakota.
There you go.
And Minnesota, potentially.
What was their record against those teams this year?
I saw them beat Minnesota.
That's true.
They did beat. They played Minnesota tough.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Good looks there. All right. That brings us to Cornell. I'll be on the clock with these guys, apparently. Cornell added Justin Schultz from Wisconsin in the first round, a defenseman. This Cornell team, I think, needs a little more punch up front. A guy who can play a well-rounded game, of course, but, you know, they don't have that one guy who you can get the big goal out of, really, you know, count on to be, okay, these guys might make something happen here. And they've had those guys in the past, recent past, and there's some nice players, but no one that really, really scares you. You have to game plan for. I'm not entirely sure this is a guy that fits that mold, but I like what he does. I like that he's a senior. And, you know, in the longstanding tradition, it gets better every year. You know, not particularly big, but he had 22 goals this year. And I think it just fits this team a little bit. Stevie Moses from New Hampshire.
Yeah, good one.
So to me, it just it's comfortable. You know, he slides in, makes, you know, and it just you know, if we're trying to make teams better, mission accomplished. He makes Cornell better. So that's the pick here. And there you go. Next up will be UMass Lowell with Bus, then Denver with Nate, and I'll be on board with Maine. But Lowell selected Brian O'Neill of Yale in the first round. Bus, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm not sure what direction I'm trying to go here with Lowell. You know, it seems like it might be a little bit of a best player available type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't get a lot of production from a point standpoint from their defense. So maybe that's kind of, you know, rather than just picking, okay, here's the best guy on the board, maybe what we're looking at here is a pick for a defenseman who can generate some offense. And there are a few of those guys out there. It's just a matter of deciding which one I want to go with. Hunt would have been a nice fit, I think. But obviously he is off the board.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, I think you'd again want to lean towards somebody who's a veteran, got some experience. The funny thing is, if you look at the list of top scoring defensemen, those kind of guys are really few and far between. I mean, there's not a ton of high scoring veteran defensemen out there. It seems like a lot of them are younger. But I think one guy who might fit the bill, and you know, he's not a super high scoring defenseman, but he's played against tough competition, and he's been really a go-to guy on defense for them since basically the day he stepped on campus, and that's Steven Seago from Michigan Tech.
Yeah. Yeah, O'Neal and Seago to Lowell. Good stuff.
And there are some other guys that are out there that had more points. You know, I contemplated going with Nick Jensen from St. Cloud.
Yeah, with Lowell, I'm looking at guys who've played a lot of games and a lot of big games.
Maybe Tech hasn't played a lot of big games, but they've...
You've played a lot of big teams.
Yeah. Yeah, guy like Seago is not going to be overwhelmed by the situation.
Right.
That's well put.
Right. All right. Good stuff.
He's the pick.
Good spot there. That brings us to Denver and Nate. Denver again. We mentioned with injury problems and some. Goaltending question marks, perhaps.
Yeah, I was okay with the Kanata pick.
Yeah, they addressed Joe Kanata in the first round of Merrimack. Yep.
I was okay with the Kanata pick, but I think I might have leaned to the forward ranks just with concerns about that injury situation. And with that in mind, I figured target a guy who's an all-around forward, somebody who can really play both ways and do it all for you. And I came up with Jack McClellan from Brown.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good pick.
You'd know him better than I, Gladdy, but it seems like a guy who, you know, he's a senior, he's a leader, he's got good size, he kind of does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he does. He
can play any role, really.
He's got a lot of stuff that he can bring to the table, so... that's a good pick. I think he plays with an edge, which is good in this tournament again. And yeah, that's a nice acquisition there. Again, a guy that not a lot of people know about, and I think there will be several of those picks here in the second round, especially. But yeah, he's definitely one to watch there. And now we'll have our next picks will be Maine, Boston University, and Minnesota. And I guess I'm on board for the Black Bears here. Maine had Mark Zangerle of Wisconsin in the first round. Nate, you were looking at defensemen as well with that pick?
Yeah, just to help the PK and just overall team defense.
Yeah. To me, that there's a guy – was an award candidate for among the ECAC hockey defensemen, and I like him. There's another guy I really like too. I'm gonna go with the familiarity factor a little bit here with Maine, and after all the penalty minutes in that last series, though, maybe this would disrupt some of the chemistry in the room. But I'm looking at Carl Stollery from Merrimack in this spot.
Terrific player.
Good pick. I mean, he's a very good player, steady career. You know, again, was in the tournament last year. I think for what it comes down to overall, I think he's probably the overall best fit for Maine in this spot here. So that's what I'm going to go with. Second team Hockey East selection. So there you go. And that brings us to Boston University. And Bus.
Yeah, there's kind of
Tyler Gron of Northern Michigan in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at their roster, it seems like, and hopefully this draft ends by the time I lose my voice. Hopefully we're done before I lose my voice, I guess is a better way of saying it. You look at their lineup and they've got, you know, they're fine up front. They've got a bunch of guys who can put the puck in the net. And obviously you throw Gron into that mix and there's another guy that can do that as well. I think maybe where I am with BU is adding going the best defenseman available route, and I think that this is where Nick Jensen from St. Cloud would come into play.
Good spot.
Yep, that's a good upgrade, I think.
You know, he had 32 points, 26 of them assists.
Yeah, been in the games against the big teams.
Yeah,
good spot there. Gophers next, and that's Nate.
Gophers had
Danny
Biega in round one, so you sort of addressed what you wanted on defense there, and I don't see taking two defensemen out of that lineup, so I'm looking forward here. I had a couple of different guys in mind.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you think that they need somebody kind of a garbage guy?
Maybe a more traditional garbage guy than a Kyle Rau?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Weibel?
Well,
he is available.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Not in our fake world of rules.
I have a thought here though, that I think he might enjoy playing in Minnesota for the weekend. And
go
again,
for it.
A little second chance at the season. Anders Lee.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Minnesota guy.
Play with Buttigieg.
Gives him a little bit more power up front. Again, not really addressing a need, but it seems like a good fit.
Yeah, I think that works out. Yeah, for the kinds of things that you said, Nate. And again, you know, if you can find a player like that at this time of the year, then that's why we do this. So, so there you go. Brings us to Minnesota Duluth. I'll be on board with that. They took defenseman Gabe Gensel from Colorado College in the first round there. Maybe there's a way to help on defense. We talked about the guys they lost last year. We talked about some penalty killing, you know, concerns. And, you know, for historians or recent historians, they'll point at a couple guys perhaps, and pointed a game that really meant a lot to the Minnesota Duluth program over the last couple of years, I think, which came against Princeton. And Michael Sadeo is a good, very good defenseman for Princeton, who was nominated as a best defensive defenseman in ECAC hockey, was a second team all-league pick, even on a Princeton team that struggled most of the year. So in the interest of making their blue line better, that's the pick here.
Actually had him on the radar when I took Gensel in round one.
Yeah, so there we go.
So they get them both.
Yep. Good look. Let's just pair them. Put them together.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Ferris State. Bulldogs haven't played a lot of hockey lately. Took Cameron Burt of RIT in the first round, forward. And Buss on the board with Ferris.
Yeah, wow, Ferris. Where to go with these guys? I'm feeling with Ferris another, you know, maybe another one of those best offensive guy available situations. And maybe somebody who, who can give him a little bit more scoring punch. And there are a few guys I think that can fit that role. But I think I'm going to go the WCHA route here. I'll take a forward in Terry Broadhurst from Omaha, who actually just, I believe, signed a pro deal today with the Chicago Blackhawks. But, you know, he's a junior, scored 36 points this season, 16 goals. And, you know, he's a vet and he's got a little bit of a scoring touch. So we'll add to their, we'll add some pop up front for them.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Nate, we're on Miami, and they had Justin Florek of Northern Michigan in the first round.
And we talked about with that they could use a little depth beyond the Riley Smith, Austin Czarnik offensive combination. They're also going up against UMass Lowell, which is a team I don't think a whole lot of people know a lot about. So if you want to get a UMass Lowell scouting report, why don't you go to the team that they've played in their last five games, which is Providence. And I'm going to grab a guy that I think doesn't have a whole lot of notoriety nationally because he was hurt for a lot of the year, but he's a good two-way forward with size and really made a big difference for that Providence team when he was in the lineup. That's Tim Schaller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was a big part of that Providence team, and congrats to them on a nice year.
Yeah. Yeah, and they beat UMass Lowell 2 out of 3 to make it to TD Garden.
Yes, indeed. Now we're up to North Dakota. North Dakota added Chris Wagner, centerman from Colgate in the first round. What are your guys' thoughts here? I've got a couple ideas. I'm thinking veteran defensemen because they're a little young back there. Talented, certainly, but still young. And I'm thinking, obviously, forward depth with the injury situation they have right now. What do you think is the bigger area of need?
I think if you could get a veteran D-man, especially one who could move the puck, that would be good, but those guys are hard to come by.
They are, but I'm thinking the veteran part outweighs the puck moving part. You know, the young kids can take care of that.
True.
And I'm looking at a guy who's played 157 college games. Signed a pro contract here after his senior season. That's Sean Lorenz from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he helps this team, and I just like that. You know, doesn't bring much to the table. Plays discipline game as well. 10 penalty minutes all year as a defenseman in a league where penalty totals are pretty high across the board. So stays on the ice, long career, Frozen Four experience. Sean Lorenz to North Dakota. The interlocking ND is a way of life for him.
Nice. Well, he was going to be my pick for Union, so no. I only owe you one, or you only owe me one.
Okay. Well, this is your last pick. Yeah.
That would work.
We'll wrap here with Union, Michigan, and BC.
I'm at a little bit of a loss with Union.
We added Kyle Bigos in the first round for his size and tenacity and grit. That element, you know, then you run into the other thing about which 2D would you scratch from that lineup, and I think that's pretty well set.
Maybe
I was thinking maybe you go, you know, veteran forward.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice.
Or, you know, they do have, I mean, they've got plenty of, I'm looking at this one of two ways. You know, do you go veteran forward, guy who's played a ton of games, or because they're, you know, they really don't have, I think the one weakness you can look at, we kind of filled that, in round one. Do you maybe roll the dice on a guy, who might provide the high reward?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a guy like Cole Schneider from UConn.
Oh, come on.
You know, a sophomore with 23 goals. Does he really fit what they need? Nah, bro. You know, maybe not. But at that point, I think he's worth a gamble with that pick.
Yeah, that.
And you know Union better than I, so.
The thing that I would like, you know, is what you said about experience. I think, you know, out of their bottom two lines, they've got I got the line chart here, three freshmen and two sophomores. So, you know, maybe a guy who can play a two-way game and has been around the block a little bit, maybe would fit more than that other guy. But, you know, goals are goals, man. And the way Union forechecks, everyone gets chances. No matter what line you're on, everyone gets chances. And that's why Schneider fits that group right there. So that's the pick.
So here's the deal. Michigan's up next.
Yep.
Louis Caparuso has met Cole Schneider now because they're both with the Ottawa Senators system. He's been burning up the phone lines, calling Red, saying you got to get this guy.
Okay.
In the wish list draft.
Okay. And now he's gone.
But Union got him instead. He's gone.
He gone.
So what are you looking at?
Well, I really like the Hanowski addition for Michigan, and I think that gives you kind of that grit. But I, you know, they have a real balanced attack, and I think maybe adding yet another offensive weapon is probably a good thing, a guy that can create. So I was leaning towards somebody like a Kyle Flanagan at St. Lawrence.
Glad he approves.
Yeah, I'm a big Kyle Flanagan fan.
He's a good player. I really liked him.
Yeah. Point of game. Start your career. Freshman, sophomore, junior. Bang. Just steady. Effective. Scores goals. Sets goals up. Not too much to complain about with his game. And he's a centerman.
How did you do against Cornell?
Oh. Let me take a quick look. I believe he missed one of the games when he was out. Flanagan game.
Wait, I had it here.
Here we go.
I had his name up.
At Cornell, did not play in a 1-0 loss. And the home game, no points in a 4-3 OT loss.
All right, so, well, they would have scored a goal in that other game.
Yeah, he definitely better at Appleton. So... Yeah, and that was the St. Lawrence team that really struggled in the first half. So, yeah, they were 0-5, and then, you know, had a little bit of a winning streak, and then he missed six or seven games. So that was a tough bounce. But yeah, Flanagan does a lot. That's a good pick there. He's like a perennial wish list type of guy. Unfortunately, because it means St. Lawrence isn't in the tournament too much, but. But yeah, that's a good pick there. And then I guess we wrap up with Boston College, and I've got this here. We talked about the beginning of this, or in the first round, they had TJ Tynan of Notre Dame, and we're like, well, why not? You know, get more guys who can be awesome hockey players.
Just keep throwing them out there.
Yeah,
it's a good strategy.
We're gonna roll our lines tonight. Well, yeah, when you've got TJ Tynan on your fourth line, I get that. So this kind of fits that same criteria. And you know, maybe again, like a guy like Kyle Flanagan, who, if his team was better, he'd be a lot more well known. But when you're game planning in Hockey East, this guy is right at the top of the list, and that goes for any team in the league, even though they were in last place. And that's Sebastian Stallberg from Vermont. I mean,
yep, absolutely.
He's right there.
Point of game player for that team.
Yeah. So, Stallberg of Vermont to Boston College, as if they needed it. But that'll wrap the wish list draft. Final thoughts, fellas?
Craig Kilborn loves that last pick.
Why?
Sebastian.
Oh, yeah. The show was on a long time ago.
It was.
Even the wish list podcast gets deterioration.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
That's all right.
Part of our deal.
Also, doesn't hurt.
Capturing the spirit of the thing.
Doesn't hurt for a Boston team to have a guy you can call Seabass.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, that'll do it. Obviously, got the accompanying words that go with this. Don't need the explanations part, but we'll recap that a little bit, and then enjoy it for Wishlist Draft. Final thoughts? Anything? Last call?
Sure, there's a lot of guys still out there that we could take.
Yeah, you could do four rounds.
Let's come up with a couple names. Anybody else on your short list here?
Well, I think this is the first time we've only taken one goalie.
Yeah, I had Karpovich, Matalora written down here.
Yeah.
Mike Lee, St. Cloud.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first thing that jumped out at me was just the, you know, it's interesting the lack of goalies, and it's...
I think it says something about the teams that are in this thing.
Well, and I think it says something about the state of goaltending.
Yes.
There's not that. Well, and it says something about the kind of goaltender you need to win the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Which maybe is just the...
Not a stand on the head one.
Right. No headstands are needed anymore.
One guy that I had here, if you needed the all-around type, was Riley Sheehan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is certainly a playoff type.
Shut down line, something like that, if you're matching lines.
Defense-wise, I thought of Thomas Larkin from Colgate.
Patrick McNally from Harvard.
Very creative, very young. Yeah, he's definitely one to watch down the road, no doubt.
Another freshman, Van Riemsdyk at UNH.
Yeah. Yeah, those were a couple of the guys that came to mind. You know,
if you're taking a guy who can score in the playoffs, why not go Dan DeSalvo?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's hot right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the other Yale guys I considered, you know, Andrew Miller, Kenny Agassi.
Yeah, Miller, sure.
So, give some run to those fellas. Marshall Everson, Harvard. So, with that, for Nate Ewell, Mike Eidelbus, my name is Joe Gladyszewski, and this has been the 2012-inch Wishlist Podcast.
Just a bunch of hoseheads. I'm glad we're done with these guys.
Yeah!